Good morning, everybody. Let's turn to Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1. So that's Romans, chapter 1, please. Today is Remembrance Day. And this morning we're going to look at those things that that humanity chooses to remember, and those things that so often we choose not to remember, that humanity chooses not to remember. So is this day today our Remembrance Day? We have remembered the Lord. In the Lord's Supper, we have remembered his death and resurrection, his salvation that he provides through his blood. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them or among them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, your sobering word. We pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So as Paul wrote there in verse 28, in the beginning of verse 29, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge," or they didn't want to remember God or retain the knowledge of God as he truly is. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness. As Paul explains here, it's not the fact that people aren't religious or superstitious or are willing to worship a God. It is the fact that they are not willing to worship the God. Because the God challenges every fibre of our being as fallen creatures. And so man has a memory problem. Humanity has a memory problem. We could say that it is a selective memory problem. There are things about the past that we like, and there are things about the past that we don't like, that we would rather forget. And I'm sure you've all heard the phrase that those who don't learn the lessons of history are doomed to repeat them. It's always a very common phrase that comes up, particularly when there's political dissatisfaction or turmoil, or when wars and rumours of wars take place. That, in other words, history is cyclical, certainly for those who don't learn the lessons of history. And sadly, humanity's memory is very short. And in actual fact, our human nature presides, our fallen human nature presides even over our memory. And so although there will be those who will remind us of history, nevertheless, we are doomed to repeat it. And so as Paul explains here in the second half of Romans chapter 1, he says, first and foremost, man has a theological memory problem. A theological memory problem. And this then leads to a moral memory problem, because man is made in God's image. And so any distortion that we have of our knowledge of God will reflect in our behavior, because man is made in the image of God. We will behave in the way that we actually believe God would behave. That is the kind of divine equation that God has created into man. Whatever we worship, to put it another way, whatever we worship, we will conform ourselves to. It is inevitable. It is unavoidable. It is programmed into the creation. So man has a theological problem, or a theological memory problem, which leads to a moral memory problem, which leads to political and social memory problems. As I'm sure most of you are aware, New York City just recently elected a new mayor who is of a socialist persuasion. How many times in history must humanity try to implement socialism and fail before realizing that the idea might be perfect, but we are not, and we are unable to actually fulfill these high ideals of almost every political persuasion and idea. The problem very often is not the idea or the principle, it is simply us. The preacher tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.' For those of us who are, well, we're all growing older every day, aren't we? But for those of us who are growing older, we can really appreciate when we so often look back on our youth, don't we, as a golden era. Not always, but very often. We wish that we still had the vigour of youth and the anticipation, perhaps, of good things in our life, which have sadly been stripped away by the reality of time. Perhaps not for all, but certainly for some. And we see in this day and age, as people in some respects live longer, that sadly man has a physical memory problem. More and more people are being diagnosed with dementia every day, tragically, because it's almost as if there seems to be some sort of time switch whereby man simply cannot extend our life indefinitely. That it's almost as if we are always brought back to the origin of the issue. If we don't solve the origin of the issue, of the problem that we reside within, we're never actually going to be able to solve the future. If we don't address the problem, as many people will say, we'll never actually identify the right solution and be able to implement it. And for some of us, we don't actually want to remember the past. Sadly, many people, their life can be filled with pain and suffering, disappointment and loss. As time goes on, we very often lose our friends and our family. And so remembering can be as painful as it, sometimes it can be as joyful when we remember those giddy days when we were younger. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, please. 2 Peter chapter 3, or listen along. Beginning at verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, Peter writes, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle or letter, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Saviour. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.' For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this. One thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Hallelujah. For this, verse 5, "For this they willfully forget." They willfully forget. Does anyone know how many indigenous flood accounts there are throughout the world? Anyone like to take a guess?
10,000.
No, not quite that high.
18.
180. There are 180 different indigenous accounts of a worldwide flood throughout the earth. By any accounts, that would be established history. If you had 180 different testimonies to a historic event, is it taught to our children in school? No. Because they willfully forget. Yeah. It is inconvenient to think that there is a God who has the authority and the power to wipe out humanity for our wickedness. It is like the child who tries to play hide and seek by simply standing there, covering its eyes. I can't see you, so you can't see me. That is humanity before God. Yesterday morning, I joined Terry and the Bournemouth Gospel Outreach Team in the centre of Bournemouth. And sometimes I will give out tracts, but other times, as Terry often observes and probably wonders what on earth I'm doing, I'll just stand and watch. And also, I'll stand slightly away from the podium where perhaps Terry is shouting at people, preaching at people.
Not guilty.
Well, they've got amplification now, so. And it's always interesting to see the people, particularly those on the periphery. And by that, these people were at some point, they were actually going to be walking straight past Terry, but they become the periphery because they sort of start here and then Terry starts, and it's like this, to get away from what Terry's saying. So I just watch and listen. I watch people's faces. So often you see various responses. One of them is, if I just stare ahead, then I don't have to pay attention and this isn't really happening. That's the most common response. The second most common response is, if I just look away, and generally it involves looking down and away, then again, this isn't really happening. I don't need to pay attention. I can just pretend it's not happening. Every so often, people will make a remark as they walk by. Some will scoff. But more often, well, I say more often than not, one particular comment I heard yesterday was, and I don't think this was necessarily directed to Terry's preaching, I'll just say this first. I can't stand it when people talk about God. What a terrible, terrible reality. But at the same time, we can all find somewhere in our fallen nature whereby there are times when we just wish God would butt out. Just leave us alone. Leave me alone. And so I don't cast any judgment on that particular individual for what they said, because you know what? At least they were being honest. At least they were being honest. But I got into conversation with another bystander whose name was Baz. He was from the New Forest. He was an older gentleman. And we got talking about things. And the one thing I will just mention first before I mention what Baz and I talked about predominantly was a little 2-year-old girl with cancer that he knows that he came back and he asked me to pray for. So if you find the time, please pray for a 2-year-old little girl with cancer whose name is Betty Rhodes. And also do remember Baz as well, if you can, in your prayers. But when Baz and I were talking, he agreed, that people are refusing to remember. People are refusing to remember. And people are refusing to be reminded. Interestingly, repentance, Peter mentions repentance, doesn't he, in verse 9. He says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But you see, repentance begins with facing up to or acknowledging the things that are very often already available to us. The truth that's already available to us. Repentance is not necessarily, it might appear to us to be the case, but it's not about being told something that we don't already know. It's facing up to what we already know and just don't like to hear. And in a sense, witnessing is reminding people of things they are already aware of, or putting into words things that people feel, but they don't necessarily turn into words themselves consciously in their lives or in their minds. We can be reminded in John 16, verse 8, that we're told that the Holy Spirit will convict the world. We don't need to convict the world. We can certainly make a good argument, but it's not up to, we can't change people's hearts and minds. It is their response to God. It is the privilege that God has given them. So when we are witnessing, we must remember that the Holy Spirit is doing the spiritual heavy lifting. We don't need to bear that burden. Of course, when it's perhaps our loved ones, our family, we have that tendency to hold on to an emotional burden in relation to their salvation. But at the same time, we know that everyone must come to God individually. No one can save, no one other human being can save another. So as Peter writes, beloved, I write this to remind you, and that verse 2, that you might be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Saviour. In Luke chapter 24, one of the accounts of the resurrection, when the apostles enter into the tomb, Peter and John. He is not here, the angels say. He is not here, but is risen. What amazing words those must have been to have heard. He is not here, but is risen. But the next word, remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. Don't you remember? He told you he would rise from the dead. We're not telling you something that you weren't already aware was going to happen. You just didn't believe it was going to happen. You couldn't conceive of how it could happen. You didn't imagine that it would happen to the Messiah of Israel, that he would die and be raised again the third day. He's not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. Our memory and being reminded, as Peter says in both of his letters, he seeks to do, to remind his fellow believers, memory helps us focus. Memory helps us focus. I don't know about you, but I've got one of these things, and for the sake of anybody listening online, I'm waving my mobile phone dramatically. And one of the reasons for this thing existing is to supposedly help us remember. It's very useful. It sets alarms off for me when I don't need them. But it's a two-edged sword, perhaps. Because one, you then don't exercise your own memory because you know that there's something else that's going to remind you. But also there's something else which is desperately trying to overwhelm you with information that you don't need to know and that you don't need to remember. But the world is telling you desperately that you need to know. We don't need to know what Kim Kardashian is wearing today, or what colour her nails are, and any other such people. But for some reason, that information is available to us. You see, there's a very simple way of stopping people arriving at the truth, which is to flood the world with lies. And the Bible literally describes how the devil will seek to overwhelm things with a flood. To flood the world with lies, to flood the world with irrelevant information. To draw our focus and to draw our memory away from the things that we should be focused upon. to remember the core message of Christianity. And the points I'm about to relate are really the foundation of how we can witness to the world and how we can remind ourselves of the simplicity of the message of Christ. The first point is that God exists, or that there is the Creator. The Creator. You see, everything we see is contingent upon something else. Contingent is another way of saying dependent for its existence upon something else. Keep your hand down if you never had a mother or a father. Keep your hand down if you never had a mother or a father. So put your hand up if you have a mother and a father. I'm pretty sure everybody in this room has a mother and a father. Everybody. So that means our existence is contingent, dependent upon someone else's existence. And that's what we see throughout the world, that everything is contingent, everything is dependent. But that means, both logically and fundamentally, that there must be something that is independent, that is self-existent, that exists inherently in its own right. Because you cannot start a sequence of things that are dependent upon something else without there being something in the beginning to start the process off. It's like you encounter something that's moving. Immediately you can ask yourself, what initiated this movement? None of us think, oh, this thing's just moving. Or at least if we do, we're not thinking properly. And whoever, whatever this fundamental being is, this fundamental being will possess all the fundamental attributes that we see expressed in our creation. Because he is the origin of everything that we see. And that is exactly what we read earlier in Romans chapter 1. Paul says there must be, as philosophers will say, a prime mover, or as scientists will say today, the singularity from which everything emerged. You see, isn't it ironic that those very often who don't believe in God still need to replace him with something? And the last time I referred to Google AI, which is by no means in any way reliable, but the singularity to which scientists believe is the origin of the universe, it describes as being infinite in power and capacity. Well, that's funny, because that sounds exactly like God. It's almost like we can't avoid going back to the same origin. We just don't like to call him what he is, in case he manages to sneak a toe into our conscience and make a home there. God exists. The second point is, there is a problem. There is a problem. Put your hand up if you ever feel that you've suffered injustice in your life. Who's been cut up when they've been driving along the road? Or seen someone else cut up? Or perhaps you've been the person that cut somebody up. You don't have to put your hand up if that's the case. But everyone is aware of injustice. We'd all like to extinguish injustice outside of ourselves, wouldn't we? We'd love it if everyone else was fair and truthful and faithful to us, and if only we could live up to the same standard. But something else which we are actually unconsciously, or even perhaps consciously aware of, depending on our level of honesty to some extent, or the extent to which we have examined our conscience, is that we are in fact remembering a collective historic trauma.